Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last Sunday of the church year, starting the new church year next week. The last Sunday of the church year always focuses on the end of the world as we know it. The disciples asking Jesus in Mark chapter 13, what is it going to be like when the end comes? That question initially asked in 13 verse 4, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? The disciples curious about the end and how to know when it was going to come and what it was going to be like. It's not a new question. In fact, the end of the world has really been a curiosity since the very beginning of the world. People have wondered what it was going to be like when the world ends. And as we talked about last week, there were a lot of people who showed up saying that it was the end of the world and it wasn't, and saying it was going to be predicted to happen at this time and it didn't. And today we hear a little bit more about the end of the world and what it will be like or what it won't be like and when it will come. And the answer to that question is coming up in just a minute. But we have been fascinated and terrified about the end of the world for a really long time. And it's always reflected in sort of pop culture terms in the literature or the movies of the day when the end of the world was predicted and what it was going to be like. So in the 30s and 40s, you have a lot of books being written about the takeover of communism and the worries of those kinds of things. So George Orwell and H.G. Wells, Animal Farm and 1984, and lots of worries about some type of power overcoming people and overthrowing people and being sort of subjugated. People were worried about these things. And so great imaginations put stories out there, which is what we do when we don't understand something or can't really conceive of something. We make up stories. We tell stories about what it's going to be like. Jesus was answering the disciples' questions to help them to avoid making up stories about what the end was going to be like. They had probably heard a great number of them. At one time, Noah was the only family, his family was the only one to survive the end of the world at that time with the great flood. And so since then, people wondered what it was going to be like again. What was the end going to be like? So we have storytellers. In the 50s, it was science fiction that told the story of the end, the day the earth stood still, War of the Worlds, great Halloween broadcast of the War of the Worlds, the radio broadcast that terrified people. That's one thing about the end. People are always terrified about what it's going to be like. In the 60s, everybody was afraid of nuclear holocaust. A lot of movies came out around that time that were focusing on the Cold War and the holocaust that was going to come with nuclear explosions, Dr. Strangelove, Failsafe, these kinds of movies where everyone was worried that somebody was going to press the button and drop the bomb and cause the entire world to be destroyed. In the 70s, people worried about nature turning against us. Now think back. In the 70s, the movies were all focused on creatures taking over the world. Great swarms of killer bees. They were worried about, let's see, I wrote a few of these down. There were movies about killer sharks. Jaws came out. There were worries about killer whales. There were worries about bears turning on one another. There were even worries about rabbits overtaking the world. And there's a classic about killer tomatoes. Yeah, that was a worry. Don't know when those produce things are going to turn on you. Romaine lettuce? I mean, come on. It's all part of it, right? Yeah. It's kind of funny how that works. And in the 80s and 90s, it was fears about things coming from far away. Outer space, aliens coming from the depths of the sea, creatures that were going to rise up and turn against us. Then there were a great number of disaster movies. There was a lot. Worries about what the end is going to be like. Now people are worried about technology taking over, whether it'll take over our minds or take over the world or what happens. Well, think about the scare of Y2K. Everyone was afraid that the world was going to end when the dates rolled over to 00 again and we'd all be transported back to 1900. Didn't happen. We're still here. People have been afraid about the end of the world since the beginning. Jesus is talking with his disciples today in our reading, Mark chapter 13, about what it will be like. And it's terrifying. The heavens will be shaken, the stars will fall, the sun will go out, and the moon won't have any light to reflect. It will be a day of great terror. But terror for whom? For his disciples? Shouldn't be. He gives a lot of warnings to his disciples and to us. Stay awake. Be ready. Don't be surprised when all of these things happen. They're going to happen. Remember, last week he talked about wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and floods. These things are going to happen. But don't be afraid. Don't be surprised. For those who believe, for those who trust, it isn't a day of great terror and fear. So while the world runs in panic, and while fear runs rampant, the disciples are warned and encouraged at the same time to stay awake, be ready. Jesus uses an example, this incredibly odd example. In the midst of all of these signs of terror and horror and things falling apart and disasters happening, he says, look at the fig tree. When the fig tree turns green, you know that the summer is coming. Now, that's not a sign of terror. That's not a sign of fear. When the fig tree turns tender and puts out its leaves, the warm time is coming. Those are words of encouragement. Those are words of hope for his followers. While the world around breaks down in terror and fear, his disciples look. They see the signs. And they're ready. And not only are they ready, but they are excited. And they are awake. And they are paying attention. And they are waiting in hope for that return of Christ. For us today, there's so much fear all around us, all the time. And whether it's fear from the news, fear from the doctor, fear from whatever may be over us, we still have hope. In the midst of fear, we look to the cross and we see the life that the cross gives. We see the hope that comes from Jesus. So while Jesus today in his talk with his disciples is sharing the fear and the terror, he's also giving them hope. Look,
when you see these things happen, it's soon. It's soon. So then the big question, when? And Jesus answers it with a, I don't know. It's not a very confident answer. But he says, only the Father knows. It's not for us to know. It's not for us to worry about. Because if you knew, how would you live differently? Would it change anything? If you knew the date, the time, the moment, how many of us would try and interfere and say, Jesus, that's just not convenient for me. Can you wait till next week? I haven't gone grocery shopping yet. I'm not prepared. How many of us would try and tell him that there was a better way to do it, a more convenient way to do it, an easier way to do it, a more efficient way to do it, or a better time for us, for others? See, not even Jesus knows. He says, only the Father knows. It's pretty incredible that the answer to the question of when is, we don't know. But it's not for us to know.
In the meantime, while we wait,
here at the end of the church year, we wait with hope and we are ready. We are ready in our spirits because the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. We are ready in our spirits because each time we come together, we are encouraged and built up. We are ready in our hearts because of the love of God that He shows us every day. We're ready in our hearts because of our relationships with one another and with Him. We're ready in our hands, in our feet. We're prepared because He's given us all of these good gifts to share. We're ready in our words because we know the words. And if we don't, well, the Holy Spirit knows the words. Better Him than us anyway. So as followers of Jesus, we are ready. We don't know when that time will be, but we don't need to. We're ready because Jesus makes us ready. It's not anything that we've done to prepare ourselves. It's not anything that we've packed in a bag or made ready. It's God who makes us ready. In our baptisms, we are made ready. In Holy Communion, we are strengthened each time we come together so that when that time comes, we are ready. Whether today, tomorrow, or years from now, we're ready. So I look forward to that day. Now, I've never been attacked by a swarm of bees, so I don't know how terrified I would actually be if that's the way it goes. But I'm ready. And I pray that you too know that you are ready when that time comes. And we'll all stand before our Heavenly Father, made ready by His Son Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, making us ready for that day when He returns. Amen.